Call to order, Simpsonville City Council business meeting for October 12th, 2021. City Clerk Long, please call the roll.
Councilmember Gooch?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Houlihan? Councilmember O'Shea?
Here.
Councilmember Cummings?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Schumaker?
Here. All rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All members of council will have received a copy of the minutes for September 14th, 2021. Are there any amendments or corrections? Hearing none, the amendments stand approved as written. Next up is a proclamation for Rett Syndrome Awareness Month. Last month, I received an email from a young lady who is here with us tonight, and I will introduce her in a moment, requesting that I do this proclamation for Rett Syndrome. I'm very delighted to do it. Rett Syndrome is an X chromosome-linked disorder. While not similar to the disorder that my son has, he also has an X-linked chromosome disorder, so a little bit familiar with the genetics of it. So absolutely delighted to do this proclamation this evening. Whereas Rett syndrome is a postnatal genetic neurological disorder that occurs almost exclusively in females, and whereas every 2 hours a girl is born with Rett syndrome, but its symptoms usually do not appear until 6 to 18 months, followed by a regression period during which acquired motor skills are lost, leading to lifelong impairments, including loss of speech, seizures, scoliosis, and irregular breathing patterns. And whereas the hallmark sign of Rett syndrome is near constant hand movements while awake, and those diagnosed with the disorder require maximum assistance with daily living activities, with more than half of those affected losing their ability to walk. And whereas the disorder is not degenerative, and biomedical research in mice suggests that neurological symptoms may be reversed even after decades of severe symptoms. And whereas, while there are significant discoveries, including the gene that causes Rett syndrome, research breakthroughs on the reversibility of the disease, testing of in vitro models, and the launch of multiple disease-modifying human clinical trials, we now live in an unprecedented and historic moment where continued research is critical to improve lives and eradicate the disease. Whereas we must continue our efforts in bringing awareness to the medical community, therapists, teachers, caregivers, and the general public as well. We must have funding available for researchers who are dedicated in finding a cure for Rett syndrome. We support this shared mission now more than ever, and together, progress will continue until there is a world without Rett syndrome. Now therefore, I, Paul Schumaker, Mayor of the City of Simpsonville, do hereby proclaim the month of October, Rett Syndrome Awareness Month in the City of Simpsonville, and urge all citizens to join me in this special observance. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 12th day of October in the year of our Lord 2021, and of the City of Simpsonville, South Carolina. At this time, I'm going to invite Zoe Adams, who is Rose's big sister, who is the one who requested that we do this proclamation. Zoe?
Can we come right here?
Yep, okay. If you would speak into that microphone right there.
Thank y'all for letting me come and share about Rose and myself and our family and everything. I have a little speech that I'd like to tell y'all. Rose and I have a very special connection. When I first saw her, I fell in love. This bond has only grown stronger as she's grown older and so have I. Rose and I have a very special song, and it's called When You Say Nothing at All. I was listening to the song at 1 o'clock in the morning when I wrote this. And one of the verses says, "The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying that you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me when I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all." This is very special to us because every time that I see her, She has truth in her eyes, and I know that I can always fall on her anytime that I need her. The bond that we have is so special to me, and it shaped me to the person that I know that I am, and she has made me me. And Rose will always say best when she says nothing at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe. Next on the agenda is a presentation by the Greenville Transit Authority. Mr. Dick O'Neill, the chair of the Greenville Transit Authority Board of Directors, will be presenting.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council, for having us down to talk about it. With me tonight is Scott Gregg, our treasurer, and Steve Ashton-Borski, who is one of our board members. Get started here. Some of you probably don't know what the Greenville Transit Authority is, so I'll give you a quick overview. Greenville Transit Authority was established in 73 to be the transit provider of the city of Greenville and Greenville County once the private bus lane went out of business. So we basically own all the assets that you see running down the road in the Greenville Transit Authority because we are the interface of the Federal Transit Authority. We have contracted out all of the assets to the city of Greenville, who actually operates Greenlink. So that's the connection between GTA and Greenlink. Our bus fleet right now is in pretty good shape. We have four brand new, or recently required, electric buses built right here in Greenville. They're doing very well. We have 18 additional diesel buses that have been mostly brought up to date through rehaul or overhaul, and two brand new smaller diesel buses. But we are going green. In February, the GTA adopted a sustainability goal that within the net future vehicle operations, we are going to be either electric or probably more probable as compressed natural gas. They operate on the same bus platforms as the diesels, but they're a lot more efficient in operation. Greenlink is more user-friendly as of the last couple of years. Now you can find us on the Greenlink app. You can find out where your bus is. You can track it. You can plan your bus service. You can locate the stops and where it is. We've also gone to touch pass. No cash or coins needed with electronic fare payment. We've got brand new fare boxes recently installed. They're much more efficient and with a lot less downtime. In the future, we will be able to accept credit card on those. January of this year, we finally started one of the things that came out of our transportation development plan, which means we operate during the week until 11:30 at night. That's a big improvement for our people who run late shifts in the afternoon and evening. And so we hopefully can continue that into Saturday, which I'll cover in a minute. We're also doing a lot of bus stop infrastructure. When I first came and got involved with Greenlink, a lot of our stops didn't have a place where you could sit or could even stand. Some of our shelters were in locations where they weren't ADA compliant. They weren't accessible. That was there on a pad, but you couldn't get to the pad. So we were going to do 96 total stops improvements to become ADA compliant. First 22 will be the full shelter, which will have solar panel lighting. Those will be located at where we have the most traffic on any of the stops. We're going to add 34 of the benches and other stops that right now do not have any place to sit. The next item is a kind of a unique item. It's a little post with a solar panel on top with a light, two fold down seats. This is going to be on those places like White Horse Road, where there's not much lighting, people can stand and turn that light on, the bus driver will know that they're going to be there. The 11 new platforms we're putting in are going to be ADA compliant, allow us to bring the wheelchairs up on a ramp, have enough space to turn and get onto the buses. And of course, six of the little seated poles will be installed at other locations. Those will not have light because they'll be in a lighted area. This kind of tells you how essential Greenlink has been to the Greenville County. That black line you see was back in February of 20 when we went into the pandemic. There's about six or seven bus companies that are comparable to us. You can see all of us took a big drop, but the black line didn't drop as far as most of them did. And we've recovered very well. We're back to where our ridership was in February of 20. Now, the reason for that, we feel, is the fact that most of these cities are larger. They had a lot of network, people who could go home and work from home. Our essential people stayed with us. These are the people that have to go to hospital, to work, go to appointments, go to jobs, have no other way to go. You know, all of us own a car. We go wherever we want to. For a lot of our people in Greenville County, this is their lifeline to everything, whether they go to the grocery store, appointments, get the kids to school. So we feel that that's the reason we have topped everybody else in coming back to our pre-pandemic stop. This is where our transit development plan is going right now. We had a TDP that was originally developed in 2018. We just updated it this year, 2021. And we have achieved our first step, which is to complete the January, and it was completed in January 21, which was the later service of weekdays. We're now at the next two steps. We hope to extend Saturday service to 11:30 at night also, which would be another boon for everyone. Our problem is, like a lot of truck driver companies right now, we can't hire enough CDL drivers to extend that service, but we're hoping by the end of the quarter of this year that we might be, we're in the hiring process at this point. The next one is to add weekday frequency. That is dependent upon our new maintenance facility, which is coming up, starting hopefully break ground in 23. But that's going to be dependent upon that because we don't have enough bus space to park right now to acquire more buses. Even though we do have in the system right now, we have grants from the federal to buy another six electric buses and four of the natural gas buses. That will be probably 23, maybe, if we're lucky, and we can find enough money to operate them. We've got the grants from the government to buy the buses, but again, we need the operational money to continue that. The next one, I can't already see it from the side. Let me walk around. I think you can still hear me. Then we want to add Saturday frequency also. That's what we mean by frequency. Right now we run on the hour. So everything goes from your bus stop to downtown, and if you're going somewhere else in that downtown Greenville, you switch to another bus and another hour ride out to wherever you're going. What we're hoping to do with this increased frequency is to get a 30-minute service and to do some cross-trafficking. You have that a little bit right now on the bus that runs from here to Greenville, because what you do now is there's two buses on that route that used to be one bus, and there's a transfer at CUI car. That allows you to not only go downtown, or if you're going over to, say, Bon Secours East Side, you can transfer to our circulator, so we do have an improved service there. And of course, what we want to do is, after that, and step five is additional service everywhere. We've got, and again, all of that depends upon our new facility, which I'll cover hopefully next week. I just covered that where that's where we are right now. Okay. Why does Greenville need an improved transit? In the 2021 TDP update, we finally figured out that Greenlink right now will have access to 20% more job opportunities with this improved service. And that's to 73% of the jobs which are in a half mile of their nearest bus stop. We will require the new maintenance facility, which I'll cover in a minute. The 2017 economic impact analysis, which started our original transportation development plan, showed that we really create about 22 jobs net impact. When I say create jobs net, that means the people who are hired per $1 million, that's our drivers, our mechanics, our additional people that we need. It also provides about 39.7 jobs that are support jobs. That means When one of our vehicles gets into an accident, we take it to a body shop. We don't repair those. It's also people who deliver the fuel to our tanks. People like that that are supported within the community. This is the new facility. I'm trying to highlight some of it so you can see it. I think which side can you most of you see on this side? Right now, this is built on just off of Rutherford Road and on Arcadia Drive. And
I don't believe the laser will work on that screen.
Oh, it won't. Okay. Well, basically, what you'll see is the one area is the admin and operation shop. The big area behind will be our brand new maintenance facility. If any of you have ever been to our facility that we currently operate, it's a two-bay former beer warehouse. We can't operate on a lot of buses there. We also don't have enough parking for all the buses that we have to expend our operations. We will be adding a compressed natural gas fueling capability at that location, as well as power for our, all of our electric buses. This whole side, there was a lot in the press that Washington Heights neighborhood was objecting to our building there. Well, not in my backyard. Well, part of that came from the fact that this site used to be the site of Washington High School, which was the segregated high school that operated from about 60 to 72, if I remember right. And there was a lot of pride in that, and they wanted something that the city had kind of talked about putting a whole park in there. So what we've done, Steve has been our leader with this community, and all of this green space is space that we're making available to the Washington Heights community, walking trails, playgrounds for the kids, and things of that nature. So that's our site master plan. Then you can see the layout. It is a sloped facility, so that admin center will be up on the top of the hill and the operations center, and all down below, which will buffer some of the noise that might come from the maintenance facility, will be down in that location. This is the operations and admin facility. We also will have a boardroom in here that will be accessible to the Washington Heights community for their use when the building is not being used by the board. This will be the big maintenance facility. This side is the two bays for actually cleaning the vehicles and keeping them serviceable every day. We do wash our vehicles every day. The other bays are where the maintenance bays are, which will give us a greater capability to maintain all of our equipment. So that is an oversight of both the GTA and Greenlink, where we're headed. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. Any questions or discussion?
Well, thank you.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Do you offer, will you offer tours for citizens that want to come through the facility?
Absolutely.
So you can see what you have.
If they contact Nicole McCadden, who is our marketing director, they'll be happy to do that. I'll get that information to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, not. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's the next one.
All right, we had no citizens sign up for citizen comments, which brings us to the first item of business. Item 8A, second reading of AXZ2021-06, property located on Stokes Road. Planner John Derby, will you summarize for us, please?
Thanks, sir. Good evening, Council. This is the second reading for this small added 0.15 acres. You've already annexed portion behind it. This is for infrastructure for roads and stormwater. Current zoning is RS, the move for Arlo with the Redwood parcel. Nothing's changed from the last reading in September.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I'll make a motion to approve AXZ-2021-06, proposed annexation rezoning of a portion of property located on Stokes Road.
Second.
And a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Kelly. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Derby. Next item, second reading of ordinance number 2021-06, flood damage prevention ordinance. Jason Knudsen, our Planning and Economic Development Director, will you please summarize?
Thank
Mayor and Council, so this is the second reading of that flood damage prevention ordinance. Nothing has changed since the last reading.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve second reading of ordinance 2021-06, flood damage prevention ordinance.
Second.
Have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. Next item is second reading of ordinance number 2021-07, business license. City Administrator Gracely, will you summarize?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. As we've been discussing the Committee of the Whole and then last month's business meeting, the South Carolina Business License Tax Standardization Act, which is Act 176, goes into effect on January 1st of 2022, and it mandates that all local governments that collect a business license administer that in the same way. So what we are doing is adopting the Municipal Association's model ordinance. We've also gone in and restructured our rate structure so that we are essentially revenue neutral with this change. It will result in a few businesses paying it a little bit more and some paying a little bit less, but essentially revenue neutral for the city.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Kelly.
I make a motion to approve on second reading ordinance 2021-07, business license.
I have a motion from Councilmember Kelly with a second from Councilmember Gooch. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Passes unanimously. The final item on our agenda, the selection committee recommendation for the contract manager at risk for municipal complex. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This would just require a vote of council for us to hire our general contractor for the new municipal complex. As you all heard at the Committee of the Whole meeting, the selection committee worked during the month of September. We received 14 submittals to our advertisement for CMAR contractors. We shortlisted those to four contractors: Edifice General Contractors, Harper Construction, Reeves Young Construction, and Hood Construction. Out of those four interviews, I think we would have been fine with any of those firms being selected. They were all very well qualified, a lot of relevant experience and good results from other projects they had completed. But the committee did score Edifice General Contractors the highest, and so that is the recommendation coming from the selection committee.
The motion is in order. Councilmember Kelly.
I make a motion to approve the selection from the selection committee recommendation for the CMAR for municipal complex.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Kelly with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Passes unanimously. That concludes items on our business agenda. Without objection, we will stand adjourned.